If you don't know, my husband Adam loves movies. He used to work in the film industry, and he's a big film buff. So it couldn't have been more than 2 weeks after we moved here to New Orleans that we were at some New Orleans Film Society event at the Orpheum Theater. We were there for their summer film series. They were showcasing different films that were about, were shot in, and were set in New Orleans. But what we didn't know was that there were several comedians who would be performing before the screening began. One of the comedians shared that she'd recently run a half marathon. She was super proud of herself, although she said that it seemed that others were, like, really proud of her. You see, she was a self-proclaimed big girl comedian. She was heavier, maybe 350 pounds or so. And she joked that, you know, when skinny girls run, people are always whispering behind their backs, like, what's she trying to prove? Or, why's she got to make us look bad? But then she smiled and said, when I run half marathons, I'm an inspiration. Look at her go. Maybe we could do that. You see, our scripture opens up with little vignettes, sound bites, if you will, of some of our biblical heroes. They are our inspiration, the ones that make us say of our faith, maybe I could do that. These are the greats from our scriptures. Names and stories that we're beyond familiar with, and some that we're a little less familiar with, but are nonetheless inspiring. From the well-known Daniel in the lion's den, to Moses and the parting of the Red Sea, to the less known, Rahab the prostitute who shelters the spies, to Barak and Deborah's faithful leadership that brought military victory. And it's their stories that gather into the great cloud of witnesses, the ones that sustain us as we hear that charge to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus as the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We have a tendency to view these heroes, these greats, by only remembering the best things that they did. We remember Gideon and his faith, standing up when God calls him, but we forget that before he stood up, he asked God for a sign. And then just to really make sure that God wanted him to do it, he asked for another sign, you know, to really, really know if that's what he was supposed to do. We remember Moses faithfully leading God's people out of Egypt and to the promised land. But we often forget that he wasn't allowed to step into the promised land himself because he didn't follow God's instructions correctly at what God saw as a crucial time. You see, this book, this Bible may have been written 2,000 years ago, but people are still dealing today with day-to-day challenges. Money is tight. You have mouths to feed. You have coworkers that you like or don't like. And if you don't really make certain things a priority, especially your faith, then you get years down the line and you realize you're worse off than where you started. Sometimes you end up looking at your life and wondering, how could I possibly prioritize this when I have so much more to do? What I love about these stories is that Scripture doesn't hide the unsavory aspects of their lives. Part of what is so amazing about their story is that they can be the heroes that run the race of life and faith, but they made mistakes just like us. The members of the early church, you see, they struggle with day-to-day life and discouragement as well. Hebrews was written for the Hebrews, for a group of Jewish Christians, people who were raised Jewish and then came to see Jesus as the Messiah. And these Jewish Christians, they were discouraged and demoralized. They felt excluded from mainstream society, especially the Jewish religious establishment that they used to be a part of. But what helped God's people deal with this discouragement, what's helped since the beginning, is the knowledge that we are not alone. We follow in the footsteps of people from the earliest biblical times who were unsure of what the future held for them. We follow the footsteps of saints who along the way chose to trust God anyways. We follow a God who did not abandon us in times of trouble. We follow the path, staying focused on Christ, and we're able to see the joy in life despite the suffering, despite the day-to-day hiccups. This passage, it sets forth a vision for the church. While living the faithful life, it's always come with challenges. But God's people can trust their King. The purpose of this passage in its context is to encourage the Jewish Christian community to stay faithful to God in the face of life's challenges. Faith allows people to see beyond what's right in front of them, beyond their daily problems, to see what God's doing in the midst of it, to see what God's done throughout the ages, and to see the future joy God has in store for us. Since the writer of Hebrews is writing to a group of Jewish Christians, he knows that they're well-versed in the Old Testament. He reminds them and reminds us of the stories of people who have great faith in God. Faith in this passage is not about trusting ourselves, but that trust is outwardly focused. We are to trust the God who stayed true to our ancestors in faith and will stay true to us, to look to Jesus not as a model of suffering, but as a model for endurance and perseverance. Having faith doesn't mean that we don't go through challenges, but it does mean that we don't go through them alone. It does mean that we have our religious practices of prayer and worship to help guide us through the tough times, to refocus on us staying faithful to God, who is faithful to us. And so we're called to run this race of faith. So maybe you're a runner, or maybe your running days are behind you. You know, I think mine might be. You see, I used to be a really active person. In high school, I was a cheerleader for a while until the girls got really mean. Then I played soccer, but I loved lacrosse. It was my sport of choice. It tapped into my gifts, aggression and determination. And that seemed to matter more in lacrosse than my actual skill level. So that really meant it was the sport for me. And once college rolled around, my sports teams weren't there anymore, and I didn't get off of the couch very often. It wasn't until my senior year of college that my boyfriend at the time and I, we decided that it was time to get in shape. And so we picked up some light jogging, and I joined my college's lacrosse team. And it was a really good thing in my life. I was just hitting my stride after graduation. My boyfriend and I had just built up to where we were running like 3 miles comfortably and somewhat regularly. But then after more than a year together, we broke up. And since we've been working towards health together, I was worried that I'd give up if I didn't have some goal of my own to stick to. So I decided that I was going to sign up for the Disney World Half Marathon. 13 miles. That way I could stay focused on my health. I had a friend who had done it a few years back, and she had a blast. And so I knew this was the right decision. And so I got online to sign up, and it was full. There were no more spots left. None for me, none for anyone else. And so on a whim, I decided to sign up for the full marathon. 26 miles. Mind you, I had never run more than 3 miles in my entire life. All I'd done as far as races had gone were 5Ks. You know, the firecracker run on the 4th of July when I was a kid, or the turkey trot on Thanksgiving so I could eat more pie. Maybe a Race for the Cure to help raise money for breast cancer research, but it was mainly about the pie. I was a fool. I had no idea what I had just gotten myself into. But I did have a little over 6 months to prepare. So that was the good thing. And lucky for me, the great cloud of witnesses that our scripture talks about, lucky for me, they found me, because I didn't even know to look for them. I was young and foolhardy, and let's just say I wasn't the brightest bulb in the box. It was August, and I was out in like the high heat in the middle of the day trying to fit in my long runs. Luckily, the summer rains came in, and it pushed me into the gym, where I was running on the treadmill, like, all the time. There was a man in his 60s at the gym who said, "You're always here. You should join my running group." Well, they met on Saturday mornings between 5 and 6 a.m., depending on how long their run was, normally somewhere between, like, 8 and 15 miles. My 22-year-old self literally laughed out loud to find out that people willingly woke up at 5 a.m. on their day off. But I was so bored running by myself that I thought, what the heck, I'll give it a try just this one Saturday. So while I was running with the slowest group of people in the running group, that's my pace, the 50 and 60-year-olds, many of them still faster than me, one of the runners was telling another woman about how to prevent chafing, what clothes to wear, what products to put on. And when I got home that day, sure enough, I was chafed. And all of her remedies worked. And after that, I was sold. I had found my people. They took me under their wings. When I got injured, they made sure I was in the right hands. When I was a few miles in and ready to throw in the towel, they encouraged me, or they simply told me stories so that I could at least put one foot in front of the other for the rest of the run. It was the community of runners, my great cloud of witnesses, that kept me running. It was the wisdom within the group, the friends that felt like family as we traveled all over running races together, bunking up in hotel rooms. The people who had been there before and could walk me through the trials that I faced. You see, in the end, running was less about the sprinting and the pacing, and was more about the endurance, more about the people who help us persevere. My running days are largely behind me now, but our days of perseverance never are. Just like in our scriptures, there are others who've run before us who give us the strength to run now. There are others who run beside us who give us courage to persevere. There are people who run behind us. If we, the people in front of them, can do it, then they can do it too. Remember the comedian from the opening story? That was her experience of running in general. Inspiring people, running ahead, allowing other people to see that they can start too. to speak practically. Do you have kids or younger siblings? Because they're running behind you whether you like it or not. Do you have co-workers and friends? Because they look to you and how you respond in the difficult times. And sure, if you're one of the professional runners up front, people look at you and they expect you to run flawlessly. But for most of us in the middle or even in the back, we aren't the professional runners. Sometimes we can barely put one foot in front of the other. But people aren't necessarily looking at us to be flawless. Our parents weren't flawless. Moses wasn't flawless. The saints of our church weren't flawless. But when the going got tough, when they got knocked down, when they found themselves on the wrong road, when they tripped, or maybe even found themselves running in the wrong direction for a little bit, they got back up, running the race of faith, loving God with all their heart, mind, and strength, and the neighbors as themselves. And because of that, they brought us along with them. So in this race of life, in this life of faith, let us have the courage to run, the compassion to lend a helping hand, and the strength to persevere. Amen.